still rocking after all these years.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
This is it, the show that started it all. Often imitated, but never equal. From San Francisco, USA, online since 2004, it's the one and only Rock and Roll Geek Show. With the original Rock and Roll Geek, Michael Butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name is Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Saturday, March 23rd, 2024, and it is 11:50 a.m. when I'm recording this show open. I just got off the phone with Michael Morris. He's the singer for Fast Daddy. Fast Daddy has a great new album out called To the Stars. I'm telling you, this record is really, really good. I played The Rapture on the last episode of the Rock and Roll Geek Show. And I just got off the phone with Michael. We talked for, I don't know, about 45 minutes or something like that. Lots of good rock talk, and we talk about the album, and he's a good guy. It was nice to talk to him. So I'm just going to shut up. Well, when I had him on the show, at the end of the show, I said, "Let me pick two songs from the album you want me to play." And he picked the song I'm getting ready to play and another one that I'll play with at the end of the show. But thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy this interview with Micah Morris from Fast Daddy. Fast Daddy's new album is called To the Stars on Spaghetti Town Records. Spaghetti Town Records has all kinds of good bands. A lot of Tuck stuff. This record is produced by Tuck, and we talk a lot about, you know, Tuck as well on the show. So I hope you enjoy this. Micah seems like a really nice guy, and no doubt he's very knowledgeable about rock and roll, and he's a super talented songwriter as well. So here is the song I'm going to play now is Lucky Strike. I'll play this song, and then we'll go right into the interview. Micah, how you doing?
I am super great. Couldn't be better.
Oh, awesome. Did you talk to Tuck?
I spoke with Tuck.
He told you to say super great, couldn't be better. That's nice of you.
No, it wasn't Tuck that said that. It was Casey.
Okay. Yeah, Casey and I saw you guys at you're a little bit muffled. Where are you calling on? You on a crowd?
I'm on speaker. Is this better?
It's better probably if you put earbuds in or something.
Okay, one second. So you saw Fast Eddie?
Yeah, hold on. Wait till you get your sound okay. A little bit better. I don't want to lose a minute of this gold conversation that we're going to have.
Is this better?
Yeah, it's probably better.
Okay.
Yeah, Casey and I saw you guys at in San Francisco with, it was Wildlife, you guys, and you were also playing in another band with a really cute girl singer. I don't remember what they were called.
Dirty Few.
Yeah, all three of you guys were really great. That was a fun
awesome.
Show. That was
yeah.
about 5 years ago or something.
Yeah, I didn't remember if Fast Eddie was on that bill.
I think you guys played. It was three bands. Yeah, you played because you sang in Fast Eddie and you were just playing guitar in the other band.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. All right. Well, that's awesome. I don't know. I don't remember that. But that's cool.
Do you know Casey well?
Yeah. Well, kind of. I met him at a Dirty Few show at the Stork Club in Oakland.
Okay.
Probably like that was probably 2017.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I've kind of just kept in touch off and on with him since then. He's been to my festival in Denver before. And
oh, you put on a festival in Denver?
Yeah.
What's that called?
It's called the Rocker Mountain Ripper.
Huh. How's that go?
It's good. I got a bunch of good stuff going on this year. Actually it's going to be, 418 to 420. In Denver, it's going to be your Dead Boys are on it. The Dahmers from Sweden.
Okay.
Rambler and a bunch of other cool rock and roll bands. Fast Eddie.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Do you know Handsome Dick Manitoba from the Dictators? I say this to everybody who comes on the show. So
I have met him once.
Okay. I play.
Yeah.
He's got a solo band. I'm in his solo band.
Too
bad we couldn't have played your festival.
Well, next time. I would love that. Doesn't he own a restaurant or something in New York?
He had a bar in Manitoba's, but it's not there anymore. It shut down a few years ago.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but he's got a really rocking band. Hold on, let me let my dog in. Just hold on a second.
Yeah, no, you're good.
All right, so anyway, congratulations on the new record. It's really, really good. I really like it a lot. My only complaint is it should have about maybe two more songs on it.
I'm glad that's the only complaint I've really gotten
yeah,
so far.
Every song on it is good. Are you the, or do you write all the songs?
No, we write a lot of them together. Some of them I write. Probably about half of them I write. And then we all kind of collaborate on the production of them and, you know, chords and stuff like that. But I'd say on this album, let me see. I wrote probably like five of the songs on this record.
Which ones did you write?
I wrote Spirit Commander, Gray Day, thanks. Gray Day, Lost Child, In Too Deep, and the other songs we kind of collaborated on, but I usually write most of the lyrics.
Well, those songs you mentioned are my favorite songs on the record.
Oh, thanks, man.
But they're all good. Every single song is good. And the last record was good, too. I have a Facebook group, Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group, and there's tons of Fast Eddie fans on there. They're always they're always raving on Fast Eddie.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a guy who had some questions. I'm going to ask his questions, get those
sure.
out of the way, okay? Okay, he said, first off, kiss his ass about being a fucking great singer. Okay, I already did that. All right.
Oh, thanks.
Any updates you can give us on how their drummer Arge is doing? What happened with your drummer?
He's got cancer at the moment.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's 38. So we're that generation, I guess, that, you know, we were raised on microplastics and mm-hmm. preservatives and shit. And, we were kind of the experimental generation, and now all of our peers are getting cancer, and it's like, well, big surprise, I guess. Fuck.
What kind of cancer but is it?
It's colon cancer.
Oh my god.
Yeah, stage three.
Oh,
but
at least that's not four.
I know. Yeah, but he's played the last three shows with us. He finished chemo. He's on radiation now, so it's got to get to the point where his the tumor shrinks enough to where they can do surgery, but it fucking sucks, you know.
You guys have a fill-in drummer while he's getting treatment?
Yeah, for this tour. I didn't expect him to be able to play any of these last shows we had, luckily. So we had our fill-in kind of rehearsed and ready to go. But we're touring the East Coast here in a few weeks, and our fill-in drummer is going to come with us for that. But the only thing that's difficult about that is that Arj also sings harmonies, and drums, and it's next to impossible to find a drummer that can also sing harmonies. So
what's Arj's full name?
It's Arjun Narayan.
Everybody, if you're listening, say a prayer for Arj Narayan that he gets through his fucking cancer. That's bullshit, man. I'm sorry to hear that. I hope he makes it through it.
Yeah, he's got a really positive attitude. Probably for the first time I've ever seen, so that's cool. But
that's what they tell you when you have cancer. You got to have a positive attitude. Easy for you to say until you got cancer, you know.
No, I know. No, he's taking it like a sport, man, and we're all really just praying for him. It's funny though, when you kind of just sink into it, like you were just jamming and goofing, and when we play together, and we played a show the other day, it doesn't feel like he has cancer. It's just hanging out with your homie, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, let's hope he makes it through it. All right. The next question he says, this is Mike Cranston, by the way, asked these questions. Hello, Mike Cranston. Who is the Fast Eddie that the band is named after and is thanked in the liner notes on their Take a Look album?
Oh,
is that Fast Eddie Clark?
No. It's spelled different, first off.
Yeah, right, exactly. But,
there was like a little air of mystery around that when we picked the name, and I think it was kind of deliberate, because you could say it's like a Rose Tattoo, the Butcher and Fast Eddie, or Fast Eddie Clark, or it could just be like a raging whirlpool in a river or something. But Fast Eddie used to be a drug dealer that we used to have in Denver, and he's this Afghani dude. His name was Eddie Mohammed, and he ran a cab company. It was the guise of a cab company, and you would just give him a call, and it was like Domino's. You'd have like franchise, like you'd have a bunch of different drivers out, and wherever you're at, he'll just go meet you, and you can swipe a card for a cab drive or something. So it was really quick, but every time you'd call him, he'd be like, okay, Micah, my guy will be outside in about 17 and a half minutes in a silver Tahoe. But so anyway, we named the band after him, and that was 10 years ago.
So what kind of drugs did you buy in the cab?
Oh, we don't need to talk about that.
All right, I'm going to guess.
Nothing. I'll tell you, it's nothing slow. So.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Fast Eddie means you sold speed or coke.
Yeah, not speed. So we'll narrow it down.
I got you. I read you. There's no cops listening to this. Maybe there is. I don't know. All right, we got that one out of the way. Now, I already asked if you're the main songwriter, so we got that out of the way. All right, this is kind of a generic question. How did working with Tuck Smith influence the recording process? I had Tuck on the show about, when he did the first single. I've had him on the show probably two or three times. But anyway, he talked about you guys recording, because I think I brought Fassetti up. He said that he has never recorded a band that partied harder in the studio than Fast Eddie.
Oh, that's funny, man. That's bullshit. That's incorrect.
Really? Okay.
He recorded the Uppers, which according to them, he said that they came in drinking some substance called Speedialyte every single day.
He might have said that about you guys too. Speedialyte. Now that you
mentioned
that.
We don't use Speedialyte now.
What is Speedialyte?
I don't know. We even invented it. Apparently the Uppers invented it, and it's some sort of Gatorade mixed with amphetamines. I don't know. Huh. Something like that. But that's funny. No, Tuck actually, he texted me yesterday because I was going to come on here and talk to me about it. But yeah.
Oh, really? So he, wait a minute. What, say that again?
He texted me yesterday about this show and he said, oh, you're going to have a great time on the show or whatever. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope I don't. Well, I hope I don't disappoint you or Tuck.
No, yeah.
So did you guys go to? He lives in Nashville. Did you guys go to Nashville, or did he come to Denver?
Well, it's different for Take a Look. So, they at that time he lived in Atlanta.
So Take a Look. You guys went to Atlanta and recorded.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't all in one session. We recorded that album over three different sessions of us going down there. And we started with literally just no money at all. We sold all of our shit and like took our like crazy junker van out to Atlanta. And one of the tires fell off on the way out there. And we almost died.
Sounds about right. I know that story and well.
And then, yeah. So then we got there and then basically, you know, we got two songs out of that. And that was our first ever recording with them. And that was like the biggest thing we could ever do. And it was Milwaukee and Hurricane Alley.
Uh-huh. Both great tunes. Now, do you have to bring, I'm assuming he's not doing it for free.
Oh, no.
So
of
you
course
had to
not.
Bring
no,
some but, cash with you.
Yeah, but I mean, it was beyond reasonable then with us. And also, he didn't really know us that well. I had friends that knew him and we had mutual friends and stuff
so
like that.
How'd you guys find out about Tuck? So you heard that there was like, Tuck Smith's this guy. Did you already know the Biters or made you guys want to have him produce it?
Well, we've been fans of the Heart Attacks for, since, I mean, that's fucking old now.
Yeah. I saw Heart Attacks a long time ago at South by Southwest.
First time I heard the Heart Attacks, I was like 16 or something, and
wasn't producing then, right?
No, he was just being a nutcase
guitar player.
Yeah. What it was is I had a buddy in a band called Gunpowder Gray, and who I had known since I was a little kid, and he had moved to Atlanta, and we connected, and I hadn't spoken with this kid in probably like 10 years, and then he was in Atlanta, and then he sent me a song that he got produced by Tuck, and I listened to it, and I was like, holy fucking shit, this is amazing. And it's like hi-fi production, but it's still raw and real, it's still got the analog feel to it. So.
And all the stuff that Tuck is involved with, all the songs are always super catchy.
Yeah, he's kind of a modern master of the pop rock formula,
So anyway, you're back to first record. You went to Atlanta, did two songs.
Yeah.
And then, you had to come back another time to finish that record?
Yeah, we came back two more times.
You guys have a budget? Did you have a label?
No, so we didn't have a label or anything. We really, like I said, we kind of just sold a bunch of our shit and didn't really even know if we were going to have the money to make the whole trip back and forth and then pay for the recording in the first place for the two songs. But after that, those songs caught the attention of our buddy in Tulsa, who used to run Fuck You, Reroll, okay, like big punk rock festival.
Uh-huh.
And he sent those songs to Teddy Spaghetti.
Okay.
Spaghetti Town Records. Right. And then he was like even more that we recorded in Atlanta with Tuck. And Teddy usually pays attention to anything that Tuck puts out. So.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of Tuck bands on his label.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so we definitely, after that, we Teddy kind of took us on and we, just recording the whole full length of Take a Look, it was like a 3.5 year process to get that one out. And then this one was a totally different story, but.
So does Teddy give you guys an advance or give you money for the record, or does he just put it out for you?
No, it's like a handshake deal pretty much for records.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he doesn't have expendable income. I mean, he still does construction.
Oh, he does. So. Huh? Where's he out of?
Atlanta.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I've never met him in person. He always sends me good music. He seems like a good guy.
He's the best.
So no advance for this new record to the stars. No, you still had to finance everything yourself.
Yeah, I put it all on a credit card. I'm still paying it off.
Really? So. What do you do for a living?
Well, I do cabinetry.
You drive a cab for Fast Eddie? Cabinetry. So you're a carpenter.
I sell and deliver and install cabinets, but so that's like a family business. And then I also got this production company here that I got kind of off the ground with my music festivals and stuff like that. Uh-huh. I've kind of turned that into a booking agency. So I'm doing tours for people. And so it's honestly, there's like a bunch of different hustles that I try to, it's like, you can't just do one thing anymore.
Yeah. So all the bands, all the, punk rock or whatever you call the kind of music that come through that scene of Denver, do you book all them? Or are you the local promoter?
No, not all of the bands, but for the Ripper Fest. Yes. I book certain shows, I book my own events. It's called Crying Tiger Production. So I book different stuff coming through town, or if anybody comes through town, if anybody in a rock and roll band, like for instance, in our scene, like in our community, it's pretty tight knit community. So I would imagine, generally, if any of the bands kind of on in our mutual labels come through town, they hit me up to play.
Yeah. So, what are you called again?
It's called Crying Tiger Productions.
So if Handsome Dick Manitoba wanted to come through the Midwest, and he would probably look up Crying Tiger Productions to try to get a gig.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would appreciate that.
All right. Tell him, hit me up. I'll let his guys know.
Either that, or people hit up the big commercial companies, and I think that sucks because it's just killing independent venues. And
well, Manitoba's not that big to do a big commercial company anyway.
You never know.
Yeah. What do you think about the Dead Boys and new Dead Boys without Stiv?
So Jake Hout has been doing a great job, in my opinion.
I've never seen him, so I have no opinion.
Yeah, he does. He does a fantastic job with the performance and everything. And then, and Cheetah's just like this goblin guy that's still just up there fucking prancing away. I don't know. I'm like, damn, I am goddamn impressed because the motherfucker hasn't slowed down.
Is he the only original guy in the Dead Boys now?
Yeah, I'm quite sure. I think some of the members, the rotating people they've played with, like, might have been sort of auxiliary members or, satellite members or something from the past. But it's really just him that would keep the name alive. But I feel like you only really think of, like, Stiv and Cheetah when you think of the Dead Boys. So.
Yeah, well, that drummer, who was the drummer, Jimmy Zero? I don't know.
Something like that. See, what, do you even know his name?
Exactly. Yeah, I wonder how Dead Boys are drawing, because they're coming out here to a place about a few hours away.
Well, they're doing pretty well. We played with them in Denver last year. It was pretty good, but it wasn't like mind-boggling. So I put them as one of the headliners on my fest. So I hope they fucking draw. Otherwise, I'm gonna
I hope they draw.
Rough them up.
I hope they draw for your sake and for just the sake of, I guess, rock and roll in general, I guess. From that
point.
So back to Tuck, the new record, you guys flew him out. So you guys did it with Tuck and his partner, right, for the first album?
Yeah, Dan Dixon, who's a genius, in my opinion.
That's what Tuck said, too.
Like, I mean, Tuck learned everything from Dan. I will probably just, like, I can't speak for Tuck, but I imagine if I said that, he wouldn't be upset about it. He'd probably agree. But yeah, Dan, he told me that. Like, he told me when I met Dan for the first time, he's like, "This is my mentor. You probably wouldn't expect it," or whatever. And then you get to know Dan, who's this kind of goofy, nerdy, eccentric, like mad scientist guy that just, I've never heard any other modern music that's recorded better.
Yeah, everything that those guys do sounds great. But this new record, Dan Dixon was not involved in, right?
He was. Yeah,
he was.
We wanted to work with our team, you know. So, okay. We flew him out. Like I said, a few years ago.
So you flew Dan and Tuck out.
Yeah, and this is after Tuck was not living in Atlanta anymore, so I got him from different places. But luckily, they're patient enough to deal with me booking them on shitty, like, Frontier flight.
Where'd they stay? Did they stay at your house?
No, I actually had a kind of family friend has
Airbnb like type a thing.
Well, no, it was like it's a condo that they've owned since like the 90s or something in downtown Denver, and it's like literally it's a time capsule to 1990. There's like random like little Broncos things. It's in like the sheets and everything. Like I had to buy new blankets and sheets and stuff because like it was just like nice, a dusty, dude. Musty. Tuck, if you ever meet him, he's very sensitive, especially to like smells and stuff.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I was like, oh, I can't just leave him here for like a week. He's gonna lose his mind. Mm.
So you guys recorded. They flew out, and how long did it take? Did you do every song on this record in the one session?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like one session. You know, we kind of allotted like so we it was 8 songs. So we figured a song a day. So 8 days, 8 songs. But then we had 2 days of pre-production. So they came in, and one of the hardest part about recording like a high production full length album like from a long distance is that you don't have time to just fucking fuck around. Like you have to work fast.
Well, yeah, if they're flying out, you got to work fast.
Yeah, we don't have time. Like we can't just go back in and redo vocals or go back in and redo guitar parts or like, you know.
So it was in a real studio. It wasn't like recorded at your house or something.
Oh, no. Yeah. So I guess I didn't mention that. I have a buddy who runs a recording studio down the way from my house. But it's called Rocky Mountain Recorders. Uh-huh. But it's a cool, super cool studio over there. But so he helped me out with it.
So Tuck and Dan came out for 8 days or no, 10 days.
Yeah, they were here for probably a total of 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was
So when did you guys record this?
It was in April. Oh, so last year.
It was a year ago. All right. Not too long.
Yeah, just about a year ago now. Yeah.
So all the songs were written back before then. So all the songs were written over a year ago. I'm guessing that must mean that you probably got almost a new album's worth of stuff, right?
I have a number of songs. We've written a few of them together since as well, but you know, writing hasn't really been on like the priority list. It's been kind of getting the fill-in drummer up to par, and then getting the band, just getting these songs performance ready with Arge and then with the new guy. And so, but I do have a few songs. We're just kind of, you know, cancer's definitely put a wrench in the gears.
Yeah. So you guys are all, everybody's been the same guys since Casey and I saw you guys.
Yeah, we haven't changed our lineup in
that's good.
10 years. Yep.
That's good. All right. One last question from Mike Cranston, another ass kissing question. And most important of all, what does it say about the state of music in the 21st century that songs, oh boy, this is a kiss ass one. As songs as fucking classic as Milwaukee have not made them stars.
Yeah.
Isn't it a travesty that you're not a star?
Yeah.
You're a local
star. Yeah,
local star. You're a local star. How's, what's the scene like in Denver?
The scene here is fantastic. It's cool. It's always been a rock and roll city.
Don't Descendants live out there still?
Well, I don't know if they live out in Denver anymore. They ran like the blasting room out of Fort Collins.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and then Jella Biafra, his dad lived in Boulder, so I'm actually I'm friends with him. I talk to him on the phone every once in a while. Oh,
Jello lives out here, I thought.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was gonna say that. So you guys probably run into him out there too.
Yeah, I've ran into him a few times. He's kind of a dick, yeah, but that's kind of his thing. Yeah. He likes to be a dick, so it's kind of his.
I think he's just autistic or something.
Yeah, it's just part of his persona.
It's just some shit. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, I got no problem with Jello Biafra.
I don't either.
I mean, he's a character. So, yeah, he's definitely a character, and is there's very few of those characters from that time. Handsome Dick Manitoba would be one of them. So and so would Cheetah Chrome.
Exactly.
You gotta love those guys for just what they did.
I wondered, kind of tying into your friend's question. What's his name? Anthony.
Mike Cranston. How come you guys? Sorry, I don't know why. Why aren't you guys stars?
So I feel like that about a lot of people, our peers in this music scene lately too. I feel like the fact that Tuck, considering how talented and and selfish. It's not selfish. Talented and selfless and caring and
that
giving.
That guy's a major talent. Major fucking talent, man.
Yeah, it's the fact that he's not a superstar is just absolute garbage.
Yeah,
and I know it's frustrating to him too. Not that he needs the ego gratification or whatever, but to watch people like Machine Gun Kelly get named like the rock and roll person of the year.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I'm not going to badmouth Machine Gun Kelly because I've never heard his music, but yeah, I get your point. Have you heard that? Did you hear that record that Rob Cavallo did for Tuck? Because he's never played it for anybody that I know.
I did. I don't know. We were like, it's funny because the band was recording with him at the time that he had just finished recording it, and he had the songs there. And then he was like, I can't show them to you guys. I'm sorry. I can't. It's like, I would love to. I'd really love to show you, but I just can't show them.
Uh-huh. And 10 minutes later, you hear all the songs.
Well, not really. I think I don't even think the rest of my band did. I think maybe they got to hear like one or two, but so I didn't hear all of them either, but I heard a few of them and they were great. He has the worst luck with the commitments investors.
Everything was going in his favor. I mean, was just poised to hit it.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that even though he's something like that happens to him, the guy still manages to come back with great songs. No shortage of songs coming out of that guy.
Well, he doesn't give up, and I think that it's inspiring to me too. Because I won't, I can't, I don't. I mean, I've dug myself in too deep, literally.
Yeah.
The way I think about it is, it's like, well, I fucking rowed myself out into the middle of the ocean in a rowboat, and I could either just keep going to the other side, or I'm gonna have to row all the way back to where I started. So I might as well just keep going.
Yeah, you can kind of hear influences in Tuck's songs. But in the in Fast Eddie songs, I don't really hear that. There's not much I can really compare it to.
So, well, I appreciate that because sometimes people just say
everybody wants to have well, if you like this and that, you know, it sounds like this and that. But everybody needs a comparison.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some things I think that sound kind of biters-y in our stuff, but. You know, my vocal style is very different from his, so I think that's something that separates us from a lot of the other rock and roll bands. And we also just like don't really try to, I don't know, we don't really try to sound like anybody else. We just kind of write what we like.
Yeah, so you don't really listen. Do you listen? I'm assuming you'd probably listen to other bands.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Sometimes you can get influenced. What's that? Go ahead. Sorry.
We're obsessed with music, you know, anything. We're not just like rock snobs either. We listen to anything, pop music, whatever.
What's a rock snob listen to?
I don't know. They probably listen to like this podcast.
There you go.
I don't know. Not I'm just kidding.
By the way, it's called the Rock and Roll Geek Show, in case you didn't
know. Yeah. Okay, so sorry, rock geek, that's what I meant.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're rock snob. We're rock geek, rock snob, same thing.
No, I'm kidding. No, but
So what kind of, what are you listening, I don't know, the bands that you like now, like whether they're big or not big, what do you listen to?
Well, we listen to, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for absolutely everybody in the band, but for like, as far as like a band in real rock and roll music, that's, you know, punk rock and roll, whatever, that's made it fucking huge is White Reaper. We all love them.
Okay. Yeah. The guy who did the new Black Crowes did White Reaper.
Producer. Oh, okay. Yeah. And they're getting to the point almost where it's, you know, it's like, okay, well, maybe they've had their best albums already and I don't know what's going to come after that. But,
right. But then again, I mean, what's the one White Reaper would have, would be like, you know, Thin Lizzy, whatever, but yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sure. No. And then we like, you know, we like from Italy, we like Judah, we like the Speedways from England, the Dahmers who are playing my fest, we're huge fans of them from Sweden.
There's lots of great bands from Sweden.
Oh, well, yeah, especially, I mean, I would imagine, you know, you guys are probably fans of the Helicopters and stuff that was probably our biggest influence to start was the Helicopters.
Yeah, but Fast Eddie doesn't sound anything like the Helicopters.
Well, I don't know if that's a compliment. Or...
Yeah, I love the Helicopters, and that guy Dragan's he's a rock star.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, so how I'm guessing that the records received getting all positive reviews. I haven't looked up any reviews. Has anybody trashed it?
No.
Most people don't trash when they review albums now from smaller bands. I don't want to insult you by calling you a smaller band, but by bands who are not huge, but they don't usually trash bands that are on that level.
Well, I would think not, but I do have a funny story about that. So I just got a review and it was, you know, honestly, I read through this whole review and it was great. It captured the whole spirit of the album. You know, this record's pretty angry and nihilistic and pessimistic compared to our music in the past. And it's just because it's a reflection of the state of the world right now, I feel like. But this guy really captured like the point of, you know, all of the songs and where it came and then like the whole thing of the album. And then at the very end of the review, he said, not very innovative though, 6 out of 10.
Huh.
And I was like, six out of 10.
That's like a Yelp review that says, you know, it says food's great, but I couldn't find a place to park. 1 star.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Dude, and it was like, it's not like a huge publication either. I'm like, I don't know why anybody's going to want to submit music to you.
Hmm. What publication was that?
You can trash him. I don't remember off the top of my head, honestly. I don't have to pull it up.
I'll out the motherfucker. Fuck that guy.
But... it was funny. I mean, it was just like, and apparently, and I actually was like, oh, that's, thank you for your really well thought out review. I didn't realize that we only got a D on the test.
Did you comment the guy? I mean, you commented to the guy or emailed him?
Yeah, I just emailed back. I was like, damn, okay, well, appreciate the input or whatever. You know, I wasn't being like a like salty bitch about it or whatever, but then my publicist, he was like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I read all of that other guy's articles, and usually he gives bands like 2s or 3s. And I was like, damn, why? Like, what is the point of all this?
Maybe that, like, that's and, probably his gimmick, or it's his thing, you know? Like, my thing is what this, and his thing is trash, giving bad reviews.
Yeah, that's great. It's like, and his whole mission statement is helping independent artists. And right. Like, well, you're not really helping anybody by giving him shitty reviews. Well,
then I would say if all of his scores are 2 out of 10, you guys have the best album of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll look at it that way.
I will put it in my top 10. Well, so far it's in my top 10. What does it have to be considered a full-length album? This album's like 27 minutes. What's it got to be considered a full-length?
Well, I just look at the number of songs. I was like, well, 8. And to be honest, you know, we don't have a budget. Like, yeah. We don't have a bunch of extra money laying around. So
I hear you.
I'm like... I don't know. I wanted to do 10. We had 2 extra in the vault. and then in the pre-production line, and we had done work on them already. But the rest of the band started getting a little nervous about it, and then all
nervous,
the stuff. And
nervous I, about, you mean, waiting so long for it to come out or having the money to do two more songs?
Well, not just the money, just the time. They're nervous about getting everything together in time, that it was rushed, and I was like, it almost like didn't happen. And I was like, you know, we have to just do this because we canceled a tour in Europe to record a new album.
Right.
And I was like, well, we just got to fucking go. And Tuck and Dan were like, well, yeah, let's just fucking just do it. Buckle down. And they were like, the band, at least Arj and Devin were like, oh, maybe we should just put it off and wait till we have more time to do it. And I was like, well, if we put it off, we're just going to put it off until we can put it off again. You know?
Yeah.
So like, let's just fucking get it done. And so I think part of the compromise was like, well, let's just do a couple less songs. I think if it's at least 8 songs, to me, it's considered a full length.
Yeah, well, if it's 27 minutes is longer than an EP, so I'll call it a full length. So I will it will get enough songs to be classified in albums. It'll probably be my top 10 so far.
Oh, thanks, man. That's great.
So did usually Tuck? I know Tuck has a lot of he has a lot of input on songwriting and arrangements and stuff. Did he help with any of these songs?
Yeah, well, you know, I think when we first started working with him, he like it was like rock and roll boot camp, and he's like,
what do you mean rock and roll boot camp?
Like he'll just like shame you and embarrass you and talk shit on you.
And he's just busting balls.
Busting your balls. Yeah, no, like a drill sergeant or something. Like, and it's out of love. Like if he didn't care, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not like, but there's been times where it's like, holy shit. And then you feel like a fucking idiot. And then you get through it and you're like, you know what? He was right. He was like, he's not getting paid enough to just sit there and fucking pull his fucking hair out and listen to these idiot kids that are like, wasted off their ass coming into a studio.
You mean he busted your balls for partying, not for the songs?
No, not just that. No, but I mean, even on the songs, on the performance and the playing, is like, they'll be like, Micah, quit playing like a little bitch. Get your fucking head in the game, okay, buddy?
Okay.
All right, buddy? And then he'll pat you on the back afterwards, and he'll give you like a hug and be like, that was amazing, Micah. It was really great. Okay, you really so put your all into it.
He's talking about the takes. He's not really talking about the songs. So what did he?
The songs too. The songs. I mean, but we rewrite them. He'll be like, okay, so what do you think about this? Mm. We'll change it. We'll change this around. We have all of these different elements. He never really changes anything crucial about the parts that we write. He'll just, let's just put them in a different order.
Yeah, because some guys, when they come in, they're songwriters, and the guy wants to change parts of the song, they can get a little bit defensive.
No, and that happens. And I went in really kind of open-minded, and it was a learning experience to be like, no, you know, why the fuck are we, why did we hire a producer if we're not going to listen and learn? You have to humble yourself and realize that this is a passionate professional who's trying to make you sound the best and doesn't want to put his name on some bullshit. So it's your turn to step up and take his advice, you know.
What did he help out with on this record?
So we talk about, you know, there's just mostly organizational changes, and he had some other ideas for like melody additions and melodies. So like In Too Deep, they really didn't change much about that song at all. Other than, I mean, there was like some bridge changes, you know, a couple like chord.
He didn't add the adjustments. Like, there's like a na 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 type thing in Too Deep.
He incorporated that because I didn't have that.
I would have guessed chord. That.
Yeah, so that was Tuck's idea to do that. Da 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 da.
That song is more different than all the other songs of the album because of that part.
That part, yeah, it's very Tucky.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, it's poppy as fuck. So so he wrote that. There's some, you know, melodies, leads and stuff. And beyond everything, too, he's a good coordinator. And he works really well under pressure. And so I can't say enough good things about him. It would be one thing if he was actually also just a dick, but he's also a nice person too. So
yeah, he certainly is, at least to your face.
Yeah, I know. No. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, I have nothing bad to say about Tuck. He's always been great to me. So, and the guy, yeah, major talent. Anyway, enough talk. Tuck talk.
Welcome to my Tuck talk.
Yes. Well, I really wish you guys all the luck on the album. So the plan is, now the album's out, you're going to do some shows. You got a few shows coming up. Where are the shows coming up? East Coast.
Yeah. We've been kind of delayed on a big announcement about this tour because we're touring with the Dahmers from Sweden, like I said. So I booked their tour, and we're going to be doing 7 days with them on the East Coast.
Also, all the shows are with the Dahmers.
Yeah. And so we had a delay because, God, I also dug myself into this shit. I wound up having to do the immigration paperwork for the Dahmers as well. And it's been a nightmare. So we didn't know if their visas were going to get approved until like last week.
So the Dahmers are going to use, I'm assuming you guys are going to travel in the van. You guys are going to bring your gear and the Dahmers are going to share your gear, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's usually the way it works, bands.
Yeah.
Not a buy-on or anything like that.
I'm sorry, what's that?
It's, you know, you guys aren't buying on to their tour or anything like that. You know what a buy-on
no,
is?
No. Yeah. No. Okay. I organized the whole thing.
Oh, so
and
you
they
booked
were, like,
the whole
cooperative
thing. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So you booked the thing for them. That's good. You get 20%.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
I should tell them I'm rearranging it to be 20%. Let's do that.
Yes. Yeah. But well, you get a percent. Booking percenter. That's good. You deserve it.
I get the booking. I'm also driving them, so I'm gonna do.
Ah, they're all
using
piling,
my van.
So, all piling in your van, so two bands in one van.
Well, not for the whole tour, just for the 7 days we're playing. So Dahmers are playing like 18 shows or something like that. So.
All right. Who are they hooking up with after that?
Well, there's a bunch of shows. I mean, I don't know. So,
so they're gonna just be on their own, probably.
Yeah, there's like in New York, they're playing with Paint Fumes. Fast City will be on that one too, but you know, just different bands in each city. That would be pretty cool. Playing Chicago too, that'll be good. So,
all right, well, that'll be good. That starts in March 15th, and then, no, that's your first show. Is March? That was the one you just had, record release. I'm looking at Fast Eddie's, not Fast. I'm looking at Teddy's press release here.
Yeah.
Starts in Atlanta.
Yeah, Fast Eddie will start in Atlanta. Yep. So we're doing the Ripper. Everybody's going to be doing the Ripper, and then from there we're going to. I'm going to be driving the Dahmers down to Atlanta, and then the Lissandro and Devin and the fill-in drummer are going to fly out and meet us there. And then they're going to jump in the van, and we're going to tour up the 7 dates all the way from Atlanta to New York City, and then they're going to fly back to Denver.
That'll be fun. It'll be over before you know it.
Yeah.
Usually the way short tours go, but it's over before it even starts.
Yep.
Well, I wish you all the luck, Micah.
Yeah.
And I love the new
Thanks,
record.
Man.
And thank you so much for coming on. It was really nice to have you. And keep in touch. And if you like this record, contact Micah on Facebook. Let him know that you heard him on the Rock and Roll Geek Show, so he didn't waste 43 minutes and 58 seconds of his time. All right,
nice to meet you. I appreciate the interview.
Yeah, so I'm gonna play two songs. I'm gonna let you pick the two songs. Well, I'm gonna start off with open with a song and close with a song. Which songs would you like me to play?
So two songs off the record.
Yeah,
I think what would be cool is
I should let you know I played Rapture on the last episode, so don't pick that one.
Oh, okay. Well, then you should probably start with Lucky Strike.
All right.
That's a cool opener. And then maybe Lost Child. I think that one hasn't gotten enough attention.
All right. Lucky Strike and Lost Child. I'll do that.
Sweet.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael, for coming on. I really appreciate it. And good luck on
the
tour.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. There you go. Micah from Fast Eddie. Nice guy. Great interview for me, not a great interviewer, no, but He was a good interview regardless. All right, friends, let him know you heard him on the Rock and Roll Geek Show. Seriously, I'm going to close out with, what he said, close out with Lost Child? Yeah, let's do that. We'll open up the show with Lucky Strike, and we'll close out with Lost Child. Thank you for listening, friends. As you know, it's a value for value. If you get any value out of this, please contribute what you can, friends, because I am unemployed / retired. All right, friends. All right. Here's Lost Child. I'll talk to you next week sometime. Oh, I didn't tell you how to reach the show. Rockandrollgeek.com is where you can find the show. Rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. You can find me on the Facebook, R&R Geek. Go to the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group. There's now 666 members. We're going to keep it at that until, I don't know, maybe next week and let more people in. Find me on the Instagram, Rock and Roll Geek. Find me on the Twitter, R&R Geek. That's enough ways to reach me. I'll talk to you soon. Here is Fast Daddy, Lost Child.
Surrender everything, cast it out into the deeper sea. Well, I'm a lost child, child. I don't believe you'll ever see. What's worth a nickel to ya means everything to me. Well, if you're sinking down. Red hands in every shadow to tempt you as you find your way. But if you're sinking down.
It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.